This is a special edition of Macro Voices with hedge fund manager Eric Townsend, the premier financial podcast targeting professional finance, high net worth individuals, family offices, and other sophisticated investors. Now, for this special edition of Macro Voices, here's hedge fund manager Eric Townsend.
Macro Voices All-Stars, episode 87, was recorded on January 6, 2020. I'm Eric Townsend. All-Star Brent Johnson is back with us today. This episode of Macro Voices All-Stars is brought to you by TopTradersUnplugged.com, the leading podcast when it comes to quant and rules-based investing. I'll tell you how to claim a free copy of their new guide to the best investing books ever written at the end of this episode. Santiago Capital founder Brent Johnson is back with us today, and Brent prepared a terrific slide deck to accompany today's All-Stars interview. You'll find the download link on our homepage at macrovoices.com, right next to Brent's picture in the description of today's interview. Brent, it's great to have you back. You're my first interview in the new year. We got to start, I think, by talking about the U.S. dollar. You and I both felt like the dollar was still headed higher. A lot of people were telling us, no way, it's you know, dollar's topped, it's going down. They were wrong quite a few times over, but it seems like since the 1st of October, they've kind of been right. What's going on here?
Well, yeah, great to be back here, Eric, and you know, always look forward to talking to you and your listeners. You know, you're right. You know, the dollar had a pretty good first half of the year and had a pretty good third quarter, but in the fourth quarter here, it's really kind of pulled back. And you know, I find it pretty interesting because going into 2020 now, being short the dollar is very much a consensus trade. You know, there's not many bulls on the dollar side left. And I think a lot of it has to do with this fourth quarter, like you're talking about. You know, we were pushing 99 on the DXY, and we've pulled all the way back to, you know, 96.50 or something like that. And the dollar ended up for the year, but only slightly. And so I think we're still in this big tug of war. You know, a lot of these different theories and these different theses are still playing out. You know, I've said this before, but I find it interesting that the equity bulls haven't made a good case because, you know, equities are near their all-time highs. But, you know, it's been at the result of the Fed reversing course and, you know, pumping money into the economy. And so the bears feel like they're still in the game. You know, the dollar bulls, like myself, still feel like our thesis is going to play out. But based on the last couple of months, the dollar bears are very emboldened. And I guess at the end of the day, this is why they play the game, right? Nobody really knows what's going to happen. We're all speculating. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Other people don't know what's going to happen. But all we can do is take a look at the data and make our decisions based on that. And everything I look at on the dollar tells me it's headed higher. Now, I don't know if that means it's headed higher over the next 6 days or the next 6 months, but over the next 2 to 3 years, I think the dollar is going much higher. And I think what I find interesting about this year is if you look at the, you know, I put a couple different charts of the dollar up here, and it basically shows that the, you know, the dollar index was up slightly, you know, like 0.5% or something. The Asian dollar index was down slightly, like 0.5%. The trade weighted dollar was down slightly, but basically flat. And then versus a number of major currencies and versus a number of EM currencies, it was up versus a number of them and it was down versus a number of them. And so, you know, we've just fast forwarded a year and we haven't really gone anywhere. But the thing that I find interesting about it is that if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that there was going to be this trade deal or trade war with a potential trade deal that had a currency component to it, if Powell would completely pivot, if Powell would then not only pivot from his language, but then do 3 rate cuts, if I had known that the president was going to declare the Fed the enemy of the people, you know, we talk about the twin deficits. We have this debt ceiling that needed to be raised. We've issued, you know, I think $1 trillion since the debt ceiling was raised. Europe came out with this functional special purpose vehicle to avoid using the dollar. We've had a presidential impeachment and we've had a not QE, QE, right? So I think of all these different things. And if you'd have told me back in January that those were going to happen over the next 9 to 12 months, I would have said the dollar's down 5 or 10%. But it's not, you know, it's flat. And so I think that kind of speaks to the resiliency of the dollar. And again, I don't know what's going to happen over the next 6 days or 6 months, but I still feel before this whole game is over that we're going to see a dollar going much, much higher.
Now, Brent, you've had a non-consensus view also on stocks. You've been bullish on the stock market, but it's not for the usual reasons. You know, normally we hear if somebody thinks the stock market's going up, it's because you think the economy is going to be strong and corporate earnings are going to do very well and so forth. You've got kind of a different view. For any of our newer listeners who are not familiar with that, why don't you first give us a quick refresher of why you've held that view and an update on what you currently see?
Yeah, so you know, I've been bullish on equities for probably 5 years. I was bearish in the early 2010s, and around 2013-14, I kind of had to step back and say, you know, I just have this wrong. You know, I've been bearish for 2 or 3 years, and it just hasn't played out. And you know, why? And you know, I kind of came back to this when I really started digging in on the currencies and the dollar, and I kind of came to the conclusion that the system is really bad. The system's going to end in a very bad way, but there's a path that's going to lead to that end game. And I thought that U.S. equities and U.S. markets in general would be a place that global capital would try to search out as the kind of chaos unfolded. Now, I have to say, and I thought when that happened that it would push U.S. equity prices higher, and that has happened. Now I have to say, I did not think that equities were going to go up 30% last year. I thought they were going to have a good year. I thought they'd be up 15 or 20%. I didn't quite expect them to be up 30%. The S&P was up 30%. I think the Dow was up 26%. And we're kind of at the very top of this long-term channel that I've been watching for about 10 years now. I still think that in the years ahead, we're going to break out of this channel and we're going to go higher. I think that 40,000 on the Dow, I don't think is unrealistic. You know, 4,000 on the S&P, I don't think is unrealistic. And we could even go potentially higher than that. That said, you know, I didn't expect us to get to the top of this channel quite as quickly as we did. And I think it's probably due for at least a pause, if not a pullback, before we get to this clear breakout. Now, I'm prepared for higher prices in equities. I've not sold any equities. I have put some hedges on just because I think the next couple of months could be very volatile, both to the upside and the downside. And I just want to have that protection. But, you know, I do think that before this is all said and done, I think we're going to have a blow off top in U.S. equities. You know, that said, just be careful right now is all I'd say.
Let's move on to a subject I know everybody wants to hear about, which is gold. You and I both thought it was unlikely that 1350 resistance level that had held for 5 years almost was going to be violated. It was. The breakout was much bigger than we thought. We both had thought there should be a very normal technical analysis pattern as you end up going back down and retesting that breakout zone around 1350, 1377, wherever you want to put it, as support. And what we've seen looks like kind of a bull flag pattern that broke recently with a breakout to the upside, really only ever getting down to about 1450 or so. So is it all over? Is it all uphill from here? Or do we still have a test coming of lower numbers?
Well, you know, that's the million-dollar question, Eric. And I'm going to say what I've always said on gold. And, you know, for over 10 years, I've been a huge advocate for gold. Every time I do an interview, every time I talk to people, I always say gold should be a part of everybody's portfolio. And I'm telling you, gold is going to go to $5,000. I've been saying that for 10 years, and I'm standing by that. Now, that said, you know, back in 2016, summer of 2016, when gold was making a move, it was like at 1350, 1360, and everybody in the world, or at least in the gold world, said, this is it. You know, we're now heading to all-time highs. You know, my analysis told me that it wasn't quite time. And I did a number of interviews and presentations where I said I didn't think it was going to happen for a couple more years. And, you know, that held pretty well for 3 years. And so we got into the summer of 2019. And I still didn't think it was ready to break out. I thought we would still go back down. And you know what? I was very right for 3 years, and I was very wrong for the last 6 months. I could not have been more wrong on the last 6 months, to be honest. It had a great breakout, and now it's currently sitting at like 7-year highs, I think. It actually touched 1590 last night. I believe that we're still going to go back down and test that breakout range before this is all said and done. Now, I believe that for a few reasons. Now, this is not me saying that you should go out and sell all your gold. This is not me saying that you should never buy gold. I just think that this is a little overdone in the short term. And, you know, I have a number of reasons why that is. But I think you could argue that over the last 6 days, gold's up $30 or $40. You could also argue over the last 6 hours, gold's down $30. You know, it hit, you know, 1590 overnight, and now it's back to the mid 1560s. So I think it's going to be very volatile. We may pull back 30 bucks. We may go up 100. You know, a lot of this is very emotional right now with what's going on in Iraq and Iran and, you know, Trump tweets and, you know, military action. Now, I've, you know, people in the gold world tell me that, that gold doesn't move on geopolitical concerns or military action. And, you know, listen, the primary driver for gold is real rates. I think a lot of people know that, but there's going to be days where other things influence the price of gold. And I think the big move over the, call it the last 3 or 4 days has been related to the geopolitical concerns coming out of the Middle East. Now, I don't think we're going to go to war with Iran. I certainly hope we don't, but, you know, I don't think that that is going to happen right now. And so I think a lot of this premium that's been pumped into gold in the last couple of days as a result of it will ultimately come off. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to 1600 in the next week. We may very well. But we've got a number of indicators that tell us that at least in the short term, gold is overbought. You know, the relative strength on gold is as high today as it's been in any time in the last 20 years, or at least very close to it. Now, that doesn't mean that gold isn't going higher. Gold may very well go higher. I just don't think that it's a good time to buy when you're at the highest relative strength in 20 years. You know, the other thing I look at is the commitment of traders report. Now, I have people tell me all the time that the commitment of traders report doesn't matter. And I just, that's fine. You know, everybody has to use their own analysis, but I just disagree. And in all these different things, if you just take them in isolation, they probably don't matter. But if you add up a number of different things, it's just telling me that we're going to get a pullback. Right now, on the commitment of traders, the commercial shorts are at the highest level they've ever been. And the thing is those reports are delayed because of the holidays. So we're going to get another one this afternoon. And when that comes out, I think that we will see that it's at its, the commercial shorts are at their all-time high. And we will see that the speculators are at their all-time high. That typically does not work out for gold. Now, will it? Could it? Sure, it could. You look at this chart, and I've made the point that this is either the most bullish commitment of traders report in history or the most bearish commitment of traders report in history. Because if the commercials have to cover, then you know gold's going to $2,000 in a hurry. I don't think that the commercials are going to have to cover. I think what will happen is it'll resolve itself lower and they'll get out at a lower price. But, you know, when I add up this COT report and the relative strength and the fact that it's moved so much on the last couple of days on military concerns, I think it's overdone. I think ultimately we will go back and test that breakout range. But, you know, again, everybody should own gold. If you don't own any gold, then yeah, it's a good time to have some gold. But if you already have your gold, you know, I don't see the big reason to be adding right here.
Well, Brent, thanks for another terrific interview. We look forward to having you back in a few weeks for another update. This episode of Macro Voices All-Stars was made possible by TopTradersUnplugged.com, the leading podcast on quant and rules-based investing. Be sure to claim your free copy of their recently updated guide to the best investing books ever written at toptradersunplugged.com/macro guide. And if you haven't heard it yet, be sure to check out my full-length interview with Niels Kastrup Larsen on trend following strategies, which is linked in your research roundup email. For the Macro Voices Podcast Network, I'm Eric Townsend.
That concludes this edition of Macro Voices. Be sure to tune in each week to hear feature interviews with the brightest minds in finance and macroeconomics. Please register your free account at macrovoices.com. Once registered, you'll receive our free weekly research roundup email containing links to supporting documents from our featured guests and the very best free financial content our volunteer research team could find on the internet each week. You'll also gain access to our free research library. And the more registered users we have, the more we'll be able to recruit high-profile feature interview guests for future programs. So please register your free account today at macrovoices.com if you haven't already. You can subscribe to Macro Voices on iTunes to have Macro Voices automatically delivered to your mobile device each week free of charge. Macro Voices is presented for informational and entertainment purposes only. The information presented on Macro Voices should not be construed as investment advice. Always consult a licensed investment professional before making investment decisions. The views and opinions expressed on Macro Voices are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of the show's hosts or sponsors. Macro Voices, its producers, sponsors, and hosts, Eric Townsend, shall not be liable for losses resulting from investment decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on Macro Voices.